Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Yes, remake the world. You know that we got a job to do, talking to all of you. Every man, woman, boy, and girl, we got your job to remake the world. So get up, you mighty people, and play your role. United people and play your role. Bismillah ar-Rahman, assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters, and welcome to Tuesday morning programming here on American Muslim 360. My name is William Kareem, and we are going to talk about the stories of the lives of the Prophet by Ibn Kathir. We're talking about Prophet Abraham at this time, and last week when we were discussing Abraham, we talked about the miracle that basically happened with Abraham. Allah had prepared Abraham since he was a child to develop, and especially as far as his reasoning is concerned, and he reasoned with the people about this idol worship that they were doing, but they could not explain their belief in falsehoods. They couldn't explain it. And so because Abraham was able to best them in argument regarding their idols, they do what human beings do. They got arrogant. And because, Abraham was able to best them, an argument. You know, other people heard this and they saw it and it's like, yo, we can't, you know, this guy's going to get followers because he has overcome our argument regarding why, you know, we should worship the idols that we worship. And so the next thing that they decided to do was, you know, it was like, yo, we got to destroy him. And so what they did, and they set up a cupola, they got this fire, they burnt this fire of great heat, and then the catapult was shot, and Abraham was cast into the fire. But is the descent into the blaze or the descent on steps in the cool garden, the flames were still there, but they did not burn, for Allah Almighty had issued his command. So one of the things that we talked about was that this was a miracle. And most of the times what happens is if you've ever had a miracle happen in your life, you will realize that miracles are things that happen in a moment. It is not a long drawn out. It is not a long drawn out thing. It is a moment in time. That's what it is in many cases. It's just a moment. You know, when David, did his slingshot thing, it was a moment. It was a moment that, you know, turned things around because it was an unbelievable moment that happened. When Noah got on the boat and, you know, he was saved while the rest of the people drowned, it was a moment that happened, you know. And in that situation, it was something that was preached for a long time and the people didn't believe. And when we say that it was a moment when there were rain clouds, and when the rain came, the people wasn't ready for it. And so because they weren't ready for it, they wound up drowning. You know, with the same thing with Sali, and the same thing with the people of Ad and people with Thamud, it was just a moment when brimstone was rained down on them. It wasn't something that happened over a long period of time. So many times the point is that miracles happen in moments. They're not long drawn out things. They're not long and drawn out when Allah puts a miracle on somebody. We would say the same thing as far as Jesus the Christ is concerned. We would say the same thing as far as our prophet Muhammad, that you know, when he went to Abyssinia and the people, you know, followed, they were logically, they put their logic to it. It's like, listen, man, you know, we're gonna get these followers Muhammad back because, you know, we have a good relationship with, you know, Abyssinia. So, you know, they're gonna give us the people. But when that moment came and the king said, yeah, you know, you could take them back, and then the brother stepped forward. And when he stepped forward and made the argument, you say, well, you know, what do you say? What does the Quran say about, you know, Jesus? And he said what it was. You know, he said, you know what? No, these people are correct. These people are correct. No, you can't have them. That was a miracle, but it was at a crucial point. It was at a crucial point where, you know, a decision had been made. And they were getting ready to get sent back. And then this crucial moment happened. And we will find that throughout the Quran, especially with prophets, because the prophets usually, Allah winds up usually bringing a miracle to the prophets most of the time. You know, the moments, they're just moments. You know, the whole idea about Moses and what happened with Moses. There was a series of things that happened as far as, you know, when the people was at an extreme situation, whereas the way that they explained it, that the river was in one part and then the army was in the second part and there was no way for them to escape. And then a miracle happened and they were able to escape, and as the story goes, then the people of Pharaoh drowned. That's the way that it that it's told, and that's the way it is told in the Quran. You know, Allah always shows these miracles, and when these miracles happen, people remember them and then pass them on through your generations. So here it is, then we are able to hear about the miracles that happened. We are able to hear about the miracles that happened. So that's the case as far as the miracles of you know, what happens as far as miracles are concerned. So as we continue the story, the angel Jibril came near Abraham's head and asked him, "Oh, Abraham," he said, "not from you, but we wanted to move forward." But that was just what we talked about last week. But this here is how we move forward when the faith of the faith of the believers. So Allah declares in his book, those believers unto whom the people said, "Verily, the people, the pagans, have gathered against you a great army, therefore fear them." But it only increased them in faith. And they said, "Allah alone is sufficient for us, and he is the best disposer of affairs for us." So they returned with grace and bounty from Allah. No harm touched them, and they followed the good pleasure of Allah. Allah is the owner of great bounty. It is only Satan that suggests you the fear of his supporters and disbelievers and ones. So fear them not, but fear me, meaning fear Allah, if you are true believers. So there will, in other words, there will come times in the believer's life when you know, like, all it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. And so, you know, because it doesn't look good, the question becomes, are you going to have the fear that the whisperer brings? Because he's going to be whispering, "Yeah, you know, if you would have, you know, you should have, you know, this is what you should have did, this is what you could have did, you know," and it looks like all is lost. And so then here it is, when it looks like all is lost, then you turn it around. So the throngs, the chiefs, and the priests sat watching the fire from a distance. It was burning their faces and nearly suffocating them. It kept burning for such a long time that the disbelievers thought it would never be extinguished. When it did burn out, they were greatly amazed to find Abraham coming out of the pit untouched by the fire. Their faces were black from the smoke, but his bright light, he was bright with the light and grace of Allah. The raging fire had become cool for Abraham and had only charred the ropes which held him. He walked out of the fire as if it were walking out of a garden. Cries of astonishment were heard from the believers. This is an instance, brothers and sisters, that of a miracle. So, you know, and when a miracle happens, it only confirms faith. That's what it does. It confirms the faith because it says that, you know, Allah is one that's capable of bringing us out of difficulties, circumstances. So Abraham challenges those who proclaim themselves as gods, King Nimrod. Abraham had established a definite reason against idolaters. Nothing was left for him except to reason against the people who proclaimed themselves gods. When the king Nimrod heard of Abraham's safe exit from the fire, he became very angry. I don't know what the situation was, but I don't have any callers. I don't have any callers on American Muslim 360, so I'm a little concerned. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to call into American Muslim 360 just to make sure that that is working properly, all right? I'm just going to call in just to make sure that it's working properly to see if, because most of the time there are a bunch of people that's online at this time, and I don't see anybody, okay? So,
As-salamu alaykum, William. Yeah, Kareem here. Yes, sir, you are being heard on the AM360 studio board, my brother.
Yeah, well, do you see any callers on the American Muslim 360 board?
Well, there was one, but he lowered his hand.
Okay, because okay. I don't see anybody. That's why I use my phone to call. But okay, thank you, Kareem, for confirming that.
Here's someone now that have raised their hand. If you're ready to receive them,
I will receive them.
Okay, Erica, 972467. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Well, let them listen up. I mean, I was just pushing one to let them know he's being heard. So it may just be something he can't see on his end. But yeah, we can hear you loud.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you so very much for letting me know that. Kareem, thank you so very much, too, because I don't have anything on my board. But things are complicated on the Blog Talk Radio, so I appreciate it, Kareem. I will continue.
I have a statement to make.
Sure, go ahead.
Concerning your wonderful presentation. You know, when we count time, we're counting time in our dimension. From our human perspective. And it's written that a day with man is as 1,000 years with Allah. So that's Allah's clock. And a miracle can happen according to our clock over a span of years, and punishment too, over a span of time.
Well, give us an example. Give us an example that we might be able to see that.
Okay. It was foretold that a prophet would come. After Prophet Isa, alayhi salam, we pray the prayers and the peace upon him. That was in his time. And the people that he spoke to, they were expecting someone to come immediately. The first century Christians was expecting the end of the world. And that another comforter would come? Well, the comforter did come, but over a period of time. So the miraculous nature, praise be to Allah, the miraculous nature of the Quran was revealed to our beloved Prophet Muhammad, and the Quran is a healing and that which leads to all truth. And we may call that a miracle. Well, yes, according to our understanding. But look at the years that passed before that came to fruition. And the Quran, praise be to Allah, was revealed over a period of years in stages. And the Quran is Allah's standing miracle.
Why do you call it a miracle? Why do you call it a miracle?
Because it is something that man could not produce. It is something that the human mind could not produce. Man could not author or bring about the wonderful Quran. So that is why it is referred to as a miracle. But we know that it was in Allah's plan and Allah's doing to reveal the book that would lead to all truth. That's why I call it a miracle. And it is referred to as the miraculous Quran. So
okay. So the reason why it would be a miraculous Quran is because of the confirmation that happens, even though this book was 1,400 years ago, the miracle is that it proves to be true today of all these stories of the prophets and all of these ideas that are in the Quran from these messengers, we see that these same circumstances and situations are clearly described about human beings and in today's time. I would say that, you know, to that would be the miracle that, you know, the book this that we was read 1,400 years ago confirms the life that we live today, because people continue to act in the same way that people acted during the times of the prophets. They continue to act in the same way that they're acting today.
Can I say one thing about miracle real quick? That's a good question. What makes it a long-term miracle? And this is an example I give. Sometimes somebody may be leading a lifestyle that your family doesn't approve of, and then God does something miraculous to bring them back to their purpose and lead them on a path of righteousness. A lot of times that may not just happen overnight. They may have been changing over time. Then your family said, man, that's a miracle. He's back. He's doing what he's doing now. I don't know if that's a good example or something, a miracle that takes a while, but that's a way I would look at it. I'll stop there.
The miracle of the Quran is in the miracle of people's lives. Let's look at these as two different things. When we talk about a miracle, many times it's just an instance in a person's life, like that person that you described that, you know, decided that, you know, we're going to change their life around. It was a moment in time in that person's life that person decided something happened, that person finally made the decision to turn around their life, but it was a moment. And it wasn't, you know, well, you know, I'm going to, you know, make this change. What is that moment that person, because it might have been something that person decided on many times. I remember my brother was on the street, man, 25 years, man, homeless by choice. But, you know, one day, you know, and I always kept in contact with him, but one day he just said, look, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of it. And he decided at that moment, he decided that he was willing to go into the homeless shelter. At that moment, he was tired of being on the street, you know, because, you know, he was just getting kicked out every place, and he was, you know, he's getting older, you know, sick. I'm tired of this. And at that moment, he turned himself around. With the story that we're talking about as far as Abraham is concerned, it was a moment, you know, that happened in his life when we're talking about being in the fire. And this here is, and that people witnessed it. It was a moment. It was a moment that the enemy tried to do something to Abraham, and it didn't work. They had, it was all worked out, and it didn't work. So it wound up being a miracle that happened. That's how the instant miracles happen instantly. Have you ever had a miracle happen in your life? Where I'm asking, I've had a miracle happen in my life. I've had a couple of them happen in my life. But do you remember the instant that miracle took place? Do you remember the instant that it happened? It was in a dire situation. And it could have been all over, and a miracle happened in your life. Does anybody remember that? If you remember something like that, press one on your phone and tell us about it. Because miracles happen like that. The miracle, again, the miracle of the Quran is that it is it constantly confirms the actions, and I'm giving you just my opinion. Kareem has his opinion, you know, and Ishmael has his. But I would just say to you that the Quran constantly shows us that when we talk about the prophets and what they went through, you know, we're still going through the same thing today with people. We go through the same thing with people today. And even though the other books may say it, but they don't explain it the way that the Quran explains it. These stories that we're talking about, the stories of the lives of the prophets, I mean, they explain it to us. We say, well, you know, like when Abraham came to the point where he said, where the Quran tells us that Abraham looked at the stars and said, this is my God. And then he looked at the moon and said, this is my God. And I'm shortening it. And then he looked at the sun, this is my God. You know, this is what happens with people today. We eventually come to an understanding about who Allah is. Who is the power behind all of that? But there are many people today that still are looking at statues and saying Jesus is Lord, or Kanye is Lord, or Trump is Lord. They're worshiping idols and don't even, it's out of fear. But this is what the Quran tells us, and we can see it. We can see it happening today. We can what the Quran is explaining to us. We see it today. It says here, Surah 3, 173, 1, those believers unto whom the people, the hypocrites, that verily the pagans have gathered against you. Therefore, fear them. But it only increased them in faith, the believers. And they said, Allah alone is sufficient for us. We don't have situations like that today. You know, all these promises that are being made by the administration that's coming in, that is talking about all these fearful things, they're going to cut Social Security. You know, billionaires are running the country now. Well, to the believer, what's going to happen? No harm touched them, and they followed the good pleasure of Allah. That is the best course to take. That's what the Quran is telling us. Allah is the owner of great bounty, much greater than these billionaires have. It is only Satan that suggests to you the fear of what's going to come, you know, in the next administration. It's only Shaitan that does that. And so it says, so fear them not. Fear Allah. Have faith in Allah and his messenger, which is that book that we talk about. So fear them not, but fear me. If you are true believers, if, you know, they say that, you know, if you're a believer, but it says if you are a believer. Of course, that's going to be the test. That's where the test is going to be. The test is going to be right there. Are you a believer? Of course, you see a lot of these people, man, that are in this current, you know, this current environment, they flipping. They, you know, like, they're going on the other side. Yeah, you know, I'm with Trump. I always told you he was going to win. The story says the throngs of chiefs and the priests sat watching in the fire from the distance. It was burning their faces and nearly suffocating. It kept burning for such a long time that the disbelievers thought it would never be extinguished. When it was burnt out, they were greatly amazed to find Abraham coming out untouched by the fire. So this was the miracle that was performed in Abraham's life. And people talked about it, and people knew it. And people became believers behind seeing, witnessing what has happened with Abraham. They became, why did people become followers of Imam W.D. Muhammad? Because they witnessed the things that he said about man is mine. And we embrace that. When he said, you know, the Cray Committee to remove all racial images from divine. We were running around saying the black man was God, the white man is God. This is what we come from. And here it is, you know, our Imam W.D. Muhammad, they said that he made the most significant conversion when people take their shahada. I think he said something like 10,000 at one time or something like that. Well, you know, technology helped with that. But, you know, the thing is that people became believers because they saw the miracle that happened with Imam W.D. Muhammad. And the same thing with Elijah Muhammad too, in his day and time. the time of Elijah Muhammad was different from the time of Imam W.D. Muhammad. Because, you know, like, I hope you're following me. I hope you're following me. Because, you know, we were eating pork with the Honorable Master Elijah Muhammad. We not only were we eating pork, but, you know, like, we were acting the fool. And we were worshiping, you know, the white man. That's what we was doing. And here it is, Elijah Muhammad. God bless the Honorable Master Elijah Muhammad to help to turn people around to that degree. That happened over a period of time. That happened. And then Imam W.D. Muhammad came and transitioned. So these are miracles that happen over a period of time. But I'm saying to you, is there such a thing? Has miracles actually happened in your life? That you were in a dire situation and, you know, like, boom, Allah rescued you out of it. If so, press one on your phone, Kareem, if anybody is, you know, just let me know, okay? But we got 28 minutes left in the program, so we will continue. Kareem, did you have anything else that you wanted to add?
I want to add something real quick.
Sure.
And I think I had something that was seemingly a miracle. I was driving down the highway, and there was a bad collision right in front of me. And it was, in my mind, it was no way I could avoid hitting them also, being the third car. But once those two vehicles hit, they hit each other and they bounced apart. And I drove right through the wreck. And I had never felt anything like that in my life. I'm like, alhamdulillah. I'm like, man, because it was no way I could see myself not hitting those vehicles. And I guess I would kind of look, I don't know if that's a miracle or if that's a blessing or what, but it was something in the instant. So I could see that possibly being a miracle. But then I also look at, you've heard the term kung fa yakun, right? On the field,
be it and it is,
and I think when most people hear that, they say, "Okay," that gives the impression of brevity. Brevity meaning that it happened in an instant. But when you start to really study kung fa yakun, it could be that we know that it took the universe 14 billion years to come together. That's what science say. So that kung may, saying that one day may equal 1,000 or a million days. So I think it's kind of two ways to look at it. You can look at that kung as happening over a period of time, even though God said being it is. It's just a matter of whose perspective it's coming from. And I hope I'm making sense to people, and I'll stop there.
Yeah, you did make sense. I just have a question about that accident. Did your car get scratched or hit at all?
Not at all. I'm like, because I was young. I was coming home from college, and I was driving, you know, a young driver. And I was thinking to my mind, you know, everything flashed to your mind. Man, I have my family. I'm just like, I just got this car. You know, it's just a whole lot of things that go through your mind in the instant. And then once I got past it, I looked back, and the other two drivers, they seemed to be okay. I just kept going on down the street because it was a highway. You know, there's a lot of cars around, so I just kept going.
I would say that was a miracle. I would say it was a miracle in your life. Of course, it was a good possibility that could have happened.
Exactly. I didn't see a way to avoid it, honestly. I just knew. I'm like, okay, I'm going to be in a big wreck going at a high rate of speed, you know, 75, 80 miles an hour, you know. So.
Yeah, Kareem, did you have something to say? Okay, I guess he didn't. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. But that's an instance of a miracle, yeah, that Allah had some other plan. You know, the plan that happened with Moses when Moses' mother, was it Moses? Yeah, when Moses' mother took him and put him in the basket. I mean, you know, what mother wants to do that and put him in the river? What mother wants to do that? But the miracle was that, you know, like not only did someone pick him up, but according to our understanding that he was reunited even with his mother. He was reunited with her, and she was able to give him suck because, you know, he wouldn't take to the milk from the queen. So, you know, like on the daughter who worked for the queen, from what we understand, what we are told, you know, she said, I know somebody who could do this. And the next thing you know, the mother is brought to the palace to suckle her own child. She didn't say it, but I mean that was a miracle that happened in her life. And the Quran tells us that she followed through. And it's when you say kun fayakun, yeah, being it is, because Allah had a plan, and so He had a plan for Moses, for Musa, and it started with the mother putting him in the basket in the river. Allah had a plan for Jesus, for Esau, when he sent the angel to tell to Mary, yeah, you're going to be pregnant. He said, I'm not pregnant. How am I going to be pregnant with no man that's touched me? Listen. You know, if you're talking about, you know, Allah is, and Allah, that's what Allah said is going to be, that's what it's going to be. Because it was kun fayakun, I got a plan. That's what it was saying, I got a plan. And then when you see, when you see the plan over a period of time come about, then you call it a miracle. But it has to come about. It has to be confirmed. The Quran, when we read the Quran and we hear what the messengers have gone through, it's a confirmation because these people that get into power, they act the same way. They act the same way that, you know, like the problems that all of our messengers had with the chiefs, with the people in power, they act the same way. They don't act no different. No different. And it's a confirmation. Yep. Yep, so we know how they're going to act. We know how it's going to be. So we got some idea of what's going to happen with these people who's going to be billionaires that's going to be running the country. You should have some idea about that. What is, you got $1 billion and you got a person that making $7 and some odd cents, what the hell you need with $1 billion? $1 billion is 1,000 millions. 1,000 millions. If you got $1 million, you should be good. But you got 1,000 of them? You got 1,000 millions, which makes a billionaire? Which is 1,000 millions? Why are you collecting all this money and just hoarding the money? Why? Why are you hoarding this money? Well, I give a little bit over here. And, you know, well, I'm charitable because I gave a little bit. I gave $100,000.
Well,
I got 1,000 million. Yeah, go ahead, bro.
Yes, sir. I have a visual of the studio board, and there's another caller waiting to open up his mic. Okay.
Would you open up this mic? I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. This is Muhammad Sharif, 914434.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam. Imam Kareem, Mark William, and everyone else that's on. I've been on for quite a while, but I thought maybe a call had dropped. Then I went out and came back in, the same thing. Never unrecognized, and I thought, and now Kareem wasn't saying anything for a while. I thought maybe his call had dropped also. But thank you for bringing me in.
Thank you, bro.
Now concerning things happening, like where were you asking, things happen instantly. Well, I guess it's caused to the person. And what happens if they call it a miracle? Now, say something happened to me early in my life, instantly. I was planning on going to the Marines. for years. I'll tell you, first happened where I had moved over in another area in a project, and across the street from me, another family had a big family, about 11 or 12 children. So anyone, the oldest brother that I met from the family, he was always speaking about his brother. When my brother come home, when my brother come home. He was in the Marines. And brother, when he came home, that Marine dress uniform, boy, I mean, it was something to see. So anyway, I thought then, well, I guess I'll go in the Marines. And shortly after that, one of my high school friends, he was in the 11th grade, and he dropped out of school. He went in the Marines. Now, his younger brother, he did the same thing in the 11th grade. He dropped out and went into the Marines. And I remember I saw that movie, Iwo Jima, with John Wayne. I was definitely going to the Marines. So anyway, I told my girlfriend, I'm going to go into the Marines. I'm going to go up. I went 149th Street in the Grand Course, Concourse, I believe it was, a big booth there with the Marines, Army, Navy, all the recruiters was there. Like I said, for years I was planning on going into the Marines. I went to the booth to join up, and I looked around before I made the decision. I said, Navy. I had no intent of going to Navy. Then came, I looked at the Army. I said, no, no Army. And then I took a look at the Air Force. And the recruiter said, you go in the Air Force, you can travel and go to school. Instantly, I joined the Air Force. You follow me?
So you're saying that was the miracle?
I'm not saying it's a miracle, but when you're saying about things happening in a person's life in an instant, that happened to me in an instant. For instance, I've planned on doing for years, and at that instant, I changed my mind just like that. You know.
And where did it lead you?
It's the Air Force.
Yeah, and you know, how long did you stay in the Air Force?
Well, I was in for eight years.
Whoa!
What point I'm making is I was intending to go for the Marines for years. But in that instant, I saw what it said, Air Force, you can go to school and travel. And just like that, I changed my
mind.
We've heard
the rest of this story. I've heard the rest of this story, but it would seem that this is also a kun fayakun, a B, and it is, that, you know, that Allah guided you to the Air Force, because wasn't it the person that you met that was talking about the nation? Wasn't that somebody that was in the Air Force?
Yes. Now, that's something else that happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I was in the military, and we were going to Taiwan. Got to Taiwan, and I met this brother right after I got there, and he was talking about Malcolm. And I had never heard anything about Malcolm or the Nation of Islam. So anyway, I told him I was intending to go to
Moore scientists, the Moors,
no
Hebrew Nationals, the Black Israelites,
Black Panthers.
No, it wasn't the Panthers. It was because I raised up among these side people was.
Black Liberation
the
Army.
Right, the Masons.
Oh, the Masons, okay, yeah.
Right, uh-huh. So, because I was raised up among Masons. I didn't know exactly what they were at that time, but I found out later on that they were Masons. So anyway, I was intending to go to the Masons, and the brother that's supposed to take me at one of the meetings, he always forget. He forget to come and get me and take me to the meeting. So anyway, that was it. So anyway, when the brother I met in the Air Force, he was getting out, because he was getting out of discharge because he wasn't going to the system. He just wasn't being cooperative. So he was getting out of discharge. So I asked him about who is Malcolm and all this. He was telling me about Nation Islam. And I was telling him, yeah, I was intending to go into the Masons. And so 10 years later, this 1962, 10 years later when I came out, I was selling life insurance, New York Life Insurance Company, and I had got this referred to this young brother and his sister, his wife. They got in there, and I was selling them insurance. I asked him about leaves. So, think anybody else would be interested in this type program that I had with the New York Life, saving money and all that. He gave me the person's name. I said, man, he, that sounds like the person that I met in the military. And so anyway, like I said, 10 years later, and anyway, as soon as I got him home that night, I called him. He said, yes. And we started talking. Hey, what you been doing? I said, I'll tell him when I was working, doing things like that. So anyway, he said, did you find out anything more about the Masons? I said, no. No person never took me. So I asked him about Malcolm. And he said, no, I didn't find out anything about Malcolm either. I said, we can do that tomorrow. This must have been Friday night, Saturday. I said, we can go there tomorrow. He said, how you going to do that? I said, you know, they always give the papers out and saying about come to the meetings. Everybody always inviting you to come to the temple. So he said, you really can do that tomorrow? I said, yeah, come down. We'll go tomorrow. And just like that, he said, hey, come down. He came by my house and parked his car and took my car. And we went to the temple. And just like that, as soon as I walked in the door, I feel like I'm at home. And so when I was there and the minister speaking and everything, you heard what was true and you believe it's good for our peace and all that, come shake my hand. And so I looked at him. I said, come on, let's go and shake the minister's hand. He said, no, I'm not quite ready to do that. So anyway, I said, I'm going up. I went and shook his hand. And just like that,
wow.
My whole life changed around just like that. I was doing everything you said about eating pork. And then it's gone. I went home. Brother, I told him I couldn't wait to get home and tell my wife what I had heard. And the nation's gone. But she wasn't quite ready for it right then. So anyway, that's how my life changed around just like that. I went from then on.
So when you got home, did you throw all the pork out the refrigerator? Because a lot of people say that, you know, when they became Muslim, when they became the nation of Islam, they went home and threw all the pork out the refrigerator.
Yeah, I did all that too. That's
you
right.
Did.
Throw the pork. And I did it twice. I did it when I came home with my wife. I threw it out then. And then later on, I was saying I had gone through some changes and things. And anyway, I was staying with my mother then. So anyway, when I went to her house, I told her I had heard about pork and all that. And I threw all the, she had gone to work. And I threw all the pork out of the house. And then she came home. She went back in the trash can and she got her pork and everything out and put it back in the freezer. I went through a lot of extremes, brother. My whole life changed around. The first time I heard Islam in the temple, my whole life changed around. I was doing everything that everybody else was doing. I was drinking, looting all kinds
of things. That's what you smoking. Call, but that's what you, but you know, Muhammad, that's what you call, that's kun fayakun. That's a being it is because Allah decided, you know, long before you got there. That's what you would be, you know, and especially you're talking about, I mean, that whole idea about from the Marines to the Air Force to meeting that brother, and then in meeting that brother, then 10 years later, meeting up with him again, and then going down to the temple, man, Allah had it all planned. I mean, and see, we could say that now. Because when we look back, we could reflect on it and see that that's what the movements were. So then we can say it was a kun fayakun and it was Allah's qadr that was on it because, you know, just in following it, you could see how the hand of Allah was in it for that time to bring you to where you are today. Alhamdulillah.
And I was, time I came to the temple, I was doing everything everybody else was doing. I was smoking,
sure.
I was drinking, I was doing marijuana. I mean, we weren't going nowhere. We didn't have some marijuana, all that stuff. I was doing everything that everybody else was doing. I went to the temple, and just like that, I dropped everything.
Man.
I heard one of my friends that we was hanging out together. I told him, I said, you know what can happen if you become a Muslim? Do you know God will forgive you all your sins? Because we had just heard that at the temple, God will forgive you all your sins if you become a Muslim. But they wasn't ready to give up that, you know. But
there you go.
And now,
that's what stops people from becoming Muslims, because they ain't ready. See, that, and that's just it. And that's what the Quran tells us, that people ain't ready to give up their idols. They're not ready.
Not ready.
That has always been the situation with when the message comes to the people be like, oh, yeah, I hear you. I hear you. I understand what you're saying. But, man, I ain't ready to – I'm sorry, but I ain't ready to give up, you know. I'm not ready to give up these idols yet, man. I remember a brother told me, big brother. He said, man, I hear everything that Minister Farrakhan is saying, man. But one thing I can't agree with him on, and that's giving up that pork. Man, yeah, I like everything he's saying. But, man, I ain't giving up. That's what he was adamant about it. He said, I'm not giving up that pork. That's what
but
he
do
said.
You know how many African-Americans gave up? They didn't become Muslim, but so many gave up pork from our teaching. And I think we need
True.
To try to get back
that
to that. Even
example.
Though they didn't, even though they didn't become Muslim, we were subject to influence that a lot of them gave it up.
Right, right. And that's still the power that we have today. That's still the power that we have today, because a lot of times people don't know which way to go. There are a lot of people that just don't know which way to go. So, you know, now this whole thing about fasting is intermittent fasting. We were the ones who was doing fasting. We made fasting very popular within our community. And now
That's
people
right.
are like, yeah. Intermittent fasting, that's the way to go. Okay, all right. But, you know, like, ain't nobody going to come around, yo, it was the Muslims that said, because, you know, people don't want to do that. People don't want to do that. They will witness our organic lifestyle. They will witness it. But, you know, like, say, well, you know, like, listen, we praise God, you know, five times a day. Man, listen. And, you know, I got to stop watching TV to go ahead and make a prayer. Yeah, I pray one time on Sunday. You know, I'll pray on Sunday. Yeah. Or I'll pray, you know, when before I go to sleep. And then if you pray before you go to sleep, or if they forget to pray, it's like, well, you know, like, ain't no difference. Ain't going to be no difference. But they can't see the benefit of having a connection with the creator of the heavens and the earth. They can't see that connection. Of having that the benefit from that, and that's something that we should be able to see. That in itself is a miracle that should save our life. To stay consistent as far as our prayers and everything is concerned, to stay dependent upon the Creator of the heavens and the earth, man. Oh man, we didn't hear this. I got yeah. Go ahead. I got 6 minutes left in the program. Go ahead.
As far as idols, if you are not worshiping one God, then whatever you're doing, you're worshiping idols. If you're not worshiping one God,
How you figure that? Give me an example.
If you hear Islam, and you believe it, then you will give up those idols, because everything you're doing is worshiping other things other than one God. If it's a woman, you can't give up that woman or those women. You can't do that. You're not going to give up the dope. You're not going to give up everything that you worship other than one God, Allah, is idol.
Everything, if it's money,
whatever it is.
But it comes over a period of time. It's easy to say. It's easy to say to give up that woman. But you know, like if that woman really means something to you, and you know, no matter how bad she is, the only way you're going to give her up is if you have, you know, the person has to come to an understanding that you know, like she's standing in my way of, you know, worshiping the one God. And same thing with, you know, alcohol and all of us It's influences. The only way that people change, they have to make that decision to make those changes within themselves. You are special and a fortunate individual that you was able to give it all up just like that. You was able to do that. My brother, he took 25 years.
25 years.
Yeah, go ahead.
I said one of my friends told me, he said, because he knows about the girls and all that, he had never one of my girlfriends. He said, home, we just call these a home, you know.
That's right.
You gonna give her up? I said, yeah, man, I got to, because I heard what they say, if you become a Muslim, you can't have no sex. You can't do none of that stuff. He said, you really gonna give her up? I said, yeah, I got to.
Man, that's powerful.
I always think about that song, I Ain't Mad At You by Tupac. Tupac was the one that didn't want to give everything up, but his friend became Muslim, and Tupac talked about everything that he gave up, and I always think about that when that song came out. But Tupac was really admiring his friend.
Right. Then he was able to give it up.
Exactly.
Right.
So he made a whole song about it.
Yeah. See, and some people
are anything other than the one God is idol. Is idol. Anything other than one
some
God.
Some people are just
idol.
Weak. But now, if you give some of the stuff up, you know, because sometimes it takes a progression. It takes a progression. So it's not to, you know, like tell everybody, yo, you got to do everything at one time. But sometimes it's a progression, and you have to do it according to the way that you have come to understand it. Because that's the human condition. That's the human. You could be a believer in Allah, believe it, and still do all of that stuff and do all of those things. But you know that what you're doing is wrong. If that's the case, if you at least know that it's wrong, but you know, like you're too weak at that moment to give it up. I mean, that's progress. What do you think? What do you say?
No, I think if you, I guess according to your upbringing and all of that, according to what you came up under. Like I say, when I came up under the Masons as a young child, a Mason, and when I thought there was nothing, when I got old, about, I must have been about 18 years old or something when I started thinking about going to the Masons, I said, there's nothing bigger, more powerful than a Mason. Because I had grew up on the Masons. I said, there's nothing else bigger than the Masons. And that's when the brother going to take me to sign the meeting. He didn't take me to the meeting. Then I wasn't going to buy, I stopped looking for anything else. I kept on doing what I was doing. I kept on doing anything I was doing. But once I heard that about Islam, and I heard it immediately, I just prayed, paid be to Allah. I gave up everything. I just gave it all. I had a business, and a business partner. And when I had came, and I started going to the temple, that was before I became Muslim. I was going to the temple every Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday.
That's the Muslim
well,
structure.
Not Sundays, because on you had to be in the community. You had to be a Muslim. You had to have taken your Shahada thing before you come to the FYI meeting. So I was coming on Wednesdays
right.
on Sunday.
Good,
right.
Good point.
Then
yeah.
When I came back, I told, forgot what I was getting ready to say then, but. I guess
real quick,
I thought in my life there's nothing bigger than Masons, because I saw growing up in Montgomery, Alabama, in the 50s and the 60s, but I actually saw Masons do something and could get away with it. Nobody else could.
Right.
Anybody else even been hung instantly. I mean,
right.
And I'm talking about during segregation time, you see a black man, we call a black man at that time, a Negro, which called Negro and colored folk. You see a black man, a Negro, beat up a white man. You hear what I say? Beat up a white man.
Yes.
And they bring him, and they don't kill him right there. They can't take him to court. That man going to the court is something he could do. Let me say, what anybody know about it. Send the signals the thing to do, and then they get off alive. He had to walk
right
out of that courtroom, go in, and leave that country. Leave that city.
Right.
And nothing happened to him.
Right.
Real quick about Mazes. Same thing. When I was young, I was riding with my friend, and the car stalled. And his dad was a Mason, and he got out the car, started doing a couple of things. And about two or three cars pulled over. What's going on? What's going on? You know, I was like, oh my God, I'm like, what is this? But I grew up Muslim, but I still looked at that. But then once you start studying, the Masons had some light, but it's like a flashlight if you was living in the dark. But once you come to Islam, you realize that light they had was a flashlight compared to a sunny, bright day outside. Like, okay, I see your light, but we out here at the sun. So it's really not what it is.
Well, that's
so,
what
I understand.
That's why I wanted to ask the question. Muhammad, that's why I wanted to ask you the question. Do you think that you gave everything up because you were around other men who gave everything up? Do you think that was the influence of it, that had some influence on it, the company that you were around?
Not really, because I wasn't around any Muslim, except the people the brothers out there selling the paper, and they tell you to come to the temple, and you go by the second takes, and you get the second takes, sermons, and all that. That's all the influence you had. But once I went into the temple and heard that first meeting, that's where I started giving up everything instantly. Had no influence. I just came to the temple the first time. The brother and I that I met, we went to the temple the first time, and that was it.
That's beautiful, man. May Allah continue to bless us on our journey as we move forward, man. Thank you so very much for participating in this conversation. Kareem, thank you so very much, Imam Kareem, for being there, because, like I said, it's not even showing on my board. And I was talking, and I was like, yo, it's nobody showing up on and which was weird, because most of the time, you know, people show up on the Tuesday. I mean, at least one person. I didn't show nobody.
Nobody
at all. So thank you, Kareem. Thank you so very much for stepping in and, letting me know that, you know, we were alive. And thank you, Ishmael, for calling in and also confirming, even though I didn't see you, Kareem saw you. But Allahu Akbar, this is what we do. This is the community that we have, you know, and as we move forward and we make the transition into the next phase from Blog Talk Radio to other platform, you know, inshallah, Allah will bless us as we move forward. So until next time, I give you the greetings of assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Oh, don't forget to listen at 10 o'clock. Maybe Blog Talk Radio will be working at 10 o'clock with us. So, you know, it's Sisters in Islam, Sister Martha, Sister Amira, and Sister Rashida. And they'll read from the Quran, An-Nisa, from Ayah 80 to 91. Ayah 81 to 91, I think that's what they're doing this week. But it's been very interesting having the sisters give their, their outlook as far as, you know, how those, and especially about the chapter called An-Nisa, the women, and reading that and, you know, what they have come to understand. So, again, brothers and sisters, I look forward to viewing you, inshallah, at 10 o'clock on A New Day for Our Islam Community Radio, 515-605-9326. Until then, Kareem, would you end the program for me? I can't even end the program because the button is not here. They showed that I would end the program. So could you do that, Kareem?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Bron. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.